Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 18th of October, recording at 9:30 p.m., and it's still British summertime. Okay, first the highlights here on a really interesting day. Stock markets mostly easier, and after a new all-time high, India was hit fairly hard by renewed uncertainty over those government measures that Owen talked about and detailed in yesterday's comment. More on that in a moment. The European stock markets seesawed a little bit, but were never up very much, and then closed with modest declines overall. The biggest one was the Stockholm OMX down 1.62%. FTSE was down 1%. Wall Street closed with minimal losses, 3 on the Dow and 1 point on the S&P 500, up 6 on the NASDAQ. The banks index, S&P banks index, hit a new low. I think down for about 9 straight days, or at least 8 out of 9. And the oil price, over, let me do bonds first. Bonds were generally steady against this, bond prices, that is, against this background of softening stock markets. And the oil price, and this is another eyebrow raiser here, currently 89.65, that's up 225. And if we go on to precious metals, it's been a pretty good day. Gold currently 767.80, that's another new high, that's up almost $13. Silver up 13 ticks in here, 1388 on the December contract. And platinum had another all-time high in here today, right around 1450 on the spot contract. And the industrial metals were mixed. Copper, tin, and zinc were down, and zinc only a tiny fraction, and the others were higher in here today. And the US dollar index, new all-time low, and that's currently at 77.59.59 on its in the index level. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, these stock markets that were the high performers have spilled over into a consolidation of gains. Even China was down in here today. And it would not be surprising if this if a small reaction and consolidation didn't continue in here over the short term, given the strong gains that we have seen, spectacular gains in many instances since the August reaction lows, where there were August reaction lows. As you remember, China really didn't even blink during that whole phase. As far as the India situation is concerned, it had such strong gains that it was overdue for a consolidation. I had talked about these markets becoming overextended last week and at the beginning of this week. I don't think it's anything to be too worried about. I actually still have a little bit of my investment portfolio capital following the sale of the Investec Global Energy Fund, and India, to my surprise but not displeasure, has become a possible candidate, along with, I'm watching a number of other markets. But it would suit me personally if it came back a little more. More importantly, I think a consolidation, arranging consolidation that lasted for a few weeks, taking the Sensex and the Nifty 50 index closer to their 200-day moving averages. I don't necessarily expect them to get back to those levels, but just to curb the overextension a little bit would be really quite healthy. And the government's moves and the uncertainty that's created appear to have triggered such an event. And moving on from, well, no, staying with stock markets, the weakness of this banking sector in the United States is really quite a concern in here. Now, I've written a piece that hasn't been posted yet. I'll get on to that after I finish this audio, about this two-tier market in the United States. And I've actually described it in my headline as a tale of two stock markets, the moribund versus the magnificent. And the moribund ones are mainly domestic industries, companies that are dependent almost entirely on the U.S. economy. Now, the U.S. economy is quite weak, and there's little doubt in my mind that the U.S. economy would slide into recession were it not for the robustness of the leading U.S. multinational companies, which are doing very well thanks to the synchronized global economic expansion. And the weakness of the U.S. dollar is a positive blessing for them. A lot of these companies don't have that much in the way of serious import costs, but they are doing exceptionally well when they consolidate their earnings in U.S. dollars, and they are very, very competitive in the overall global environment. So really what that means to me, that and for U.S. investors, if I was investing in the U.S., it's quite clear I wouldn't have anything to do with the domestic, primarily domestic companies, and I would not try to bottom fish in that area. There'll be an opportunity to do that at some stage, but I don't think it's now. And I certainly wouldn't be going near the financials, although some of those financials do have overseas operations, but they really have shot themselves in the foot with these, with some of these securitizations of debt. And those problems are going to certainly linger for a while. So it would be really the NASDAQ-listed and some of the S&P-listed, just big multinational companies, and based on chart performance. Owen has highlighted a number of them in recent weeks, and they do look interesting. So I think that divergence with the companies that derive the good overseas earnings doing much, much better than the domestic companies in the U.S., I think that will really continue. Now, for the European markets in here, and I think there's been a lot of confidence, even bordering on complacency, about some of these European stock markets. Most of them have certainly had awfully good gains over the last 5 years. Yes, the valuations aren't all that high, but they've got the headwind coming from the euro, and they've got the softness of the banking sectors overall. And I just don't, and a lot of these are in very lengthy overall trading ranges. And my feeling is that the outlook is one more of sideways activity at best for quite some time. That applies to the UK, where it was really the mining and other resources-led stocks that made the running in pushing the UK stock market index back up to its highs. Now, floor money themes, again, I continue to like those very, very much. They are, of course, the whole global infrastructure boom, the emerging markets, but very much led by Asia and the resources, those are the ones that I really like. And those remain hugely attractive areas over the medium to longer term. In the short term, they're vulnerable to some profit taking. And that's not something to worry about, although it may provide some additional buying opportunities. And moving on now, precious metals, terrific action in here. It's quite interesting. I probably receive more mildly bearish reports from subscribers than bullish reports, and I regard that as healthy. I don't think it's all that surprising either, because we had that long period over a year and a half where gold and the other precious metals just ranged sideways. Well, we've seen that before within their trends. It's been in the nature of their trends. But people become discouraged and they're much more cautious, and that does set the markets up for a good long run. Now, if gold and platinum and so on were front page news stories, I'd be seriously concerned about overextension. And if these markets were accelerating higher, I would be seriously concerned. But they're getting plenty of ranging, particularly on an intraday basis. I mean, they're up and down all day long within a range, but also within what are very clear upward trends following the big breakouts that we have seen for platinum and gold, and I think it won't be long before palladium joins that club, having led the early stages of the rally part of the time. And silver, having broken its progression of lower rally highs, certainly looks favorable to me as or looks good to me as well. So I like that sector. And the oil price, this is probably will become a front page news item. Nearly $90 in here, but remember that's in weak U.S. dollars. If you go into the relative performance section of the chart library and look at oil against all the other currencies, it is not it's touching new highs against most of them, but not all of them. So it's not quite as dramatic as this move actually seems, because the US dollar really is quite soft here, as I said, having broken down again, renewing its overall downward trend following what must have been the better part of 3 weeks, at least in sideways ranging. Industrial metals are not reflecting the weakness of the dollar quite as much as they are probably likely to. I think there's been more of the investment and speculative interest shown in the precious metals recently, following their long breakouts, and they are arguably still cheaper than many of the industrial metals, which have had such huge moves overall. Nevertheless, the industrial metals certainly remain in secular bull markets. All the industrial commodities are in secular bull markets. And soft's a bit steadier in the grain and bean complex in here today. And that's pretty much it. Now, I have to say, tomorrow, regrettably, I have to be away from the office almost the entire day. So I will be making some contribution to the comment of the day output, but Owen will be doing the audio tomorrow and the bulk of the commentary. I'll be firing again on all office cylinders come Monday. And meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.